From the United America Network, this is Varsity Vibes, your roundup of prep sports action and the voices from prep athletics all across Riverside County with Luke Lamont. Now, here's Luke.
A handful of exciting games to go over this week. Kicking this one off is La Quinta. The Blackhawks improved to 7-2 on the season after a close win versus Shadow Hills 36-33. The Desert Empire League is heating up at the end of this season. With one game left, we have a three-way tie for the league title between Palm Desert, Palm Springs, and La Quinta. However, the tiebreaker goes as follows. Palm Desert over Palm Springs with a head-to-head win, and Palm Springs over La Quinta with a head-to-head win. We await the matchup at the end of the season to see who wins between La Quinta and Palm Desert. A win for the Aztecs means a league title. For La Quinta, they would need a Palm Springs loss as well as a win. They lost to the Palm Springs high school football team 32-13 earlier in the year. We'll keep a close eye on how this league plays out next week and into the playoffs. Palm Desert and Palm Springs had a thrilling game on Friday that resulted in a massive upset by the now 6-3 Aztecs over Palm Springs, who we talked about last week. They are 8-0 heading into the game and eyeing an undefeated season. Palm Desert jumped out to a 35-13 halftime lead, and the team would go scoreless in the second half, but the defense came up clutch with a late stop as Palm Springs got within a score late on one of Bishop Miller's two touchdown passes on the night. After a failed onside kick, they did find a chance late after forcing the three and out, but as we said, the defense made it too little too late for Palm Springs to save their perfect record. Murrieta Valley was shockingly beaten by Murrieta Vista 42-35 in a close game to shift the tides of power down in Murrieta, as the Broncos seem to be the top team from the area this year. Quarterback Bryson Beaver had the late game heroics with a 67-yard passing touchdown with under 2 minutes left, followed up by a 2-point conversion to take the lead 35-36. The game was put away by a pick six from the Broncos defense. The game all but locks up another league title for Corona Centennial, who survived a scare from Norco 59-49. However, Chaparral will have the chance to pull off an upset in their own rights to swipe the crown away from the top team in Riverside County. We have our special guest this week is John Bonaventura from Temecula Valley, their head coach, a former CFL scout, Grey Cup winner, NCAA champion, former Kansas City Chiefs scout, a great knowledgeable football guy. Welcome, coach. We appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be here. It's greatly appreciated. You're an incredible coach, great resume, so we really appreciate you taking the time.
Sure, absolutely.
Coach Bonaventura, just wanted to start it off. You have been a scout in the CFL for a long time. You're a two-time Grey Cup winner. You have plenty of NCAA championships as well to your name. You have been extremely successful in football in your career, and I just wonder how that prior experience you've had has prepared you for this job you have currently at Temecula Valley.
I think the experience is from the mentors that I've had. The championships come with great leaders, and to have the leadership that I had at the University of Nevada under Chris Alt, if you look at his resume, what he's been able to do, and then you get into the junior college level here in Riverside, it's with Tom Kraft, his success at the junior college level, the ability to spend time with a Dick Vermeil on the National Football League and Coach O'Shea up in Winnipeg. They're just great leaders. So I think by being around them, even though I was not on the football coaching side, but in the administrative or scouting department, but being with them and watching how they ran a team and how they conducted practices and workouts, game preparation, I just think that I was just blessed to be around the right people at the right time. And I just took a lot of notes and, you know, just learned from them.
Obviously, yeah, you mentioned Coach Kraft, great success at the junior college level. You've also had experience working in the XFL, working for the Kansas City Chiefs as a scout as well. Football pretty dang well. And you've had the success for yourself and currently being the coach at Temecula Valley. That has earned you the right to be that head coach and get you this spot. I just want to talk a little bit how this season is going for you guys. I know right now you're sitting at a 4-4 record. So what do you say to your team based on how where they started to where they are now to get them ready for those last two games of the regular season, trying to make a push into the playoffs?
Just keep going, right? We set the train, like we say, we left the depot and we just keep going. We have a thing where we say we're all in or get out. And we've gone through some changes. We've set some standards of what we expect in the weight room, in the training facility in the locker room. I think we're going to be pretty close to the all-county academic deal where we've been in the top three. So I think this year we may get that. So it's just setting the standards and letting the guys know that we're either all in or we're out. And they've been able to police themselves, so to speak, the players. I continue to tell them that I can guide you. I can give you the tools to help get you there, but it's ultimately it's your team. And that's one of the things that I learned from the great coaches is that championships aren't won by coaches by no means. We just guide it, but it's the players. The players decide how the team is. If they're not going to hold each other accountable and things start to slide, then you're going to see that in the games, right? You're going to see it in the preparations. Putting it back, a lot of it on them, but yet knowing when to step in and give them that guidance. When I need to step in and say, this isn't the standard that we have. We've got to be better. But for the most part, it's them. We just keep going. And we're in a tough league, the Big West, whether you're in the North or the South, it's a very tough conference. And it's just something that we just got to keep going. When you just keep chipping away and chipping away, and you know, eventually we'll get to where this team should be, which I would like to see us at the top of at least the Big West South, and then able to compete with the teams in the North. There's such a big separation between the Centennials and Chaparrals and Vista Marietas and the rest of us. And we're all close. We're in the same community. We're not far from one another in Riverside. But how can we close that gap? And it's just getting the kids to buy into the standard and let them realize that it's them. It's their team and the success is from them. It's not me. Unfortunately, I don't get to play anymore. It's their efforts. So that's what it's get on the train.
I like that reference of getting on the train because that's kind of what the season is. You get going and it doesn't stop. Nobody's waiting up for you. You got to keep going. You mentioned your players buying into the standard you've set. I did see another interview you did a while ago, and one of the things you said was character is a huge priority for you and holds a lot of importance in how you coach. So how do you feel like the character of these kids and how you said holding each other accountable, how do you see that in your team currently?
I think it's good. We have issues. It's high school. And I think that's the biggest part for me to get over is because so much of my career has been spent professionally or at the collegiate level where you're dealing with men and you can handle them differently. Things that you don't expect, if they arise, you can pull them into an office and it's either this or that, right? You get it fixed or you're getting cut, right? You're getting cut from the team. In high school, we can't do that. But I'm still dealing with high schoolers and you still have, you know, the immaturity of young men growing. You have 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds. We have sophomores that have played. We've had freshmen that have tried to get up and compete at the varsity level. So it's setting the character is really important. And when we have an issue, which we've had in our facility, it's getting them together and talking about it. Is this acceptable? Is this something that you would do at home? Is this something that you would want done to your family, if you have a brother, a sister, or to your mom or your dad? And it's getting them to understand that even on social media, if you won't say it at home or say it in public, don't type it. You know, once you hit send, it's out there and you can't take it back. So if you're not willing to say it face to face or with your parents around, then don't do it. And that's the standard and the character that we tend to set. And if there is, and there has been, then it's a team thing. We have captains and we come in and we discuss it and then the captains can help make a decision what the consequences are. We always say you got the CDC rules. You got choices that may require decisions that may have consequences. Character's big because I think it's important for them not to only have it now, but as they go forward. You know, the habits that I think you build in high school football or high school, but using football as part of the growing process, is you take that into the workforce. You take that into the college. You take that into relationships in the future. I think that's where high school coaching has changed. You mentioned that you've talked to some other coaches that are up there in years like myself, and you're looking, it's changed in the aspect of what kids feel that they deserve or what they're entitled to, what is actually what is real. So getting them to buy into that character and being a good person. Just really be a good person.
That's something the other coaches hit on as well, is being a good person. You guys are using your platform as the head coach where you're around them all this time. And football's a very character building kind of game. And yes, you guys are using it to prepare them for life after football. Because like you said, you wish you could still play, but you can't anymore. Football ends at some point as a player. So you got to be ready to go for that time. And I think it's great. That's something that it seems like a lot of you guys are hammering home to these kids is, look, this is a great 4-year span for you. Enjoy it while you can. But also, you got to be prepared for the real world that comes after it.
100%.
So, like, building off of that, knowing character is important to you. I was kind of wondering, why is it you feel it's important to come back to this high school level? You have these other jobs working at the highest levels of football. What stood out for you is why you wanted to come back to a high school level and lead these young men on the field?
A little bit what we touched on just a few minutes ago is like how the culture has changed, you know, across the country with football, with youth football, with the development of everyone gets a trophy, right? And every kid deserves recognition, and every kid, they've got their Instagram handlers, they got their TikTok stuff. It has gotten, it's gotten out of control of where it's not about football and character and building character anymore. It's about, it's starting to become about me. It's about me as a player. What do I get? What are my accolades? How many likes do I get? How many clicks can I get? And they're losing the part of the character part of growing to be a young man, of taking on responsibility, of understanding time management, of how to understand how to work through problems, how to deal with a coach like me. I'm old school. Like some of the coaches that you and I talked about prior to coming on was, there aren't many coaches that are like me right now, meaning the old school, hold the standard, give out the discipline, handle consequences. If it means not playing, then you're not playing. But with that comes, you're going to hear from parents. You're going to hear from someone. Are you willing to do that? Right now, we have some younger coaches that are coming through this profession. They're very knowledgeable and they're great people. But they're like, I don't want to deal with all that. I don't want to deal with mom and dad. I don't want to deal with the athletic director. I don't want to deal with a booster club and fundraising. I have constant communication with my athletic director and our principal, and some of it has been very pointed, our booster club president or parents within the organization. And I always tell them, I'm more than willing to have the conversation with any of the parties involved that help run. We're all here for the kids. And we're here for the development of the school and the program and school spirit and teaching those things. But at the end of it, I'm like, I'm willing to have the conversations, but those that want it, be ready for the truth. And whether it's my athletic director, where he and I have had good conversations, and some of them are like, hey, look, our facilities right now aren't up to what we need them to have. I can't ask this from our players, and then I'm getting this from school administration. You can't have, like, you can't have the inequities of, hey, we want to win, but we don't want to work. We want kids to come, but we don't have, you know, the grass can't get cut. And then it's the same with the parents of, how come Johnny's not playing? You know what? Johnny's missed 3 days practice. Or why isn't Jimmy not playing? Well, Jimmy doesn't really work out in the weight room. He just hangs out. But kids are going home, and rightfully so. I've had two of my own that have gone through high school sports. It's like, how's practice? Practice is great. They had a great time, Dad. And then I happen to see the coach. Hey, your son is he all right? Because he dogged it today. So it's wanting to come back and put back what high school football is supposed to be about, the community, about school spirit. It's about, for us at TV, it's about becoming a golden bear. What's a golden bear? Being a part of something that's important, that you remember for the rest of your life with your high school friends, because you only get to do this once. Less than 7% of high school kids go on to play some level after high school. And these are the memories that you get to have. And right now, with the whole high school transfer portal, kids are jumping ship for no reason. I'm watching kids leave a place where you're an all-league player at your school, but you don't think it's enough. And then you're going to go to another school, which may be in a higher division, or you think it's a bigger, better school. And you're not touching the ball. No, you're second on the depth chart. Like, what'd you leave for? And the idea of, if I go to a bigger school, I'm going to get more looks. That's not true. The college coaches don't look at stars, right? They don't recruit stars. They don't look at stars. They don't do the ESPN thing. They do their own evaluations because they come to me. Those college guys call me on the phone, which I've had a lot of connections in this field. And they're like, who do you have? What about other guys in your area? They ask me about guys at schools in our league. And they know that I'm going to tell them the truth. And I'll say, hey, do you recruit stars? No. We don't know if the kid's a 2-star, 5-star, 3-star. It doesn't matter. We're looking at what we see as a product on the field. Then we go look at character. Is he coachable? And then they say, dude, what kind of grades does he have? Can he survive in our academic institution? for people to think that you're going to get recruited off of TikTok and that you're going to catch, say, as a receiver, you're going to have less production at a much bigger school than you will at a smaller school. It's not true, because it's how you play, not where you play. You got to have stuff on film consistently if a school wants to take you.
Yeah, you touched on the transfer portal and that kind of situation in high school sports right now. Yeah, it is something, and it's not just in Riverside specific, it's everywhere. It's all over the place for these kids. Yeah. They feel like the bigger name school is what's going to get them that offer from that Division I school they're looking at or anything like that. But it is important, and the other coaches touched on this as well that have been on the show, is it's about being there with your friends and building something as mm-hmm. well. You don't get that experience going to another school. You might go and play with 50 new kids you've never met in your life, and you just left 30 of your best friends for what exactly?
And it's built, and it's being a part of something that's special. I'm a Central New York guy. Here in California, I'm here to go to college and whatnot, but I stay in touch with a handful of my high school teammates over the years, and our high school just had their homecoming like 2 weeks ago, and we all sent messages back. And I sent messages back, guys, I'm class of 83, fellas. I'm watching. I check your scores every day. That high school means something to me, to know that I wore those colors for 4 years and battled on those fields at that school means something. And now kids are jumping ship to three different schools at the end of it. Like, what's the alum? Like, where are you from? What school are you going to claim is yours? Because really, it's none of them. You were just a part of something at a school. You weren't really a part of something special. And that's what I try to talk to our kids about. We're a small school. You know, we'll probably be in the 8 or 9 playoffs this year. But I'm like, it's important to have the feeling of being a 4-year Bear. If you've been there for 3 years and you've put all this equity in, and now you're going to jump ship to go to another school for a season to make that maybe you think might give you more looks, and you got to start all over at a school that they really don't know you. I mean, what's more important? If you can play, it doesn't matter where you are. They'll find you. But be a part of something that's important that you can look back on and say, you know what? I was a part of Temecula Valley for 4 years. And I got a patch on my jacket that says, "Dude, I'm a 4-year Bear." That's an accomplishment. That shows the character of a person. It shows that you can get into something and stick with it, but not leave, because then it carries. You don't like your college, you leave. You don't like your job, you leave. It just sets a bad precedence for kids right now who just think that there's something better. And I'll say, hey, if you think the grass is greener, go mow it. But I'm telling you, it's not. Like, why not stay here and make this grass greener?
I think that's a great way to look at it, is why not try to build something special with the people that you have around you that you've already put so much effort in, especially, like you said, going 3 years to one school. It gets to the point where you're starting to dream about that senior night of being in those colors and in that uniform and on the field with all your teammates and that picture you get to take and all that stuff that'll last longer than football.
Absolutely. And
I think it's important that there are coaches out there like you who they have that message for those kids. I think it's important, because I know my head coach would hammer it home to us when I played, is look, like, it's not about going to a different school. It's like, if you're good enough, they will find you. People out there, they do their job. They do their due diligence. If you are meant to be at that next level, you'll get there. You'll be found, whether or not you have to work through the JUCO levels to get to that Division I scholarship you're wanting. There's always still that opportunity, but if you're good enough, you're going to get there. And I think that does get a little bit lost nowadays with, oh, I can transfer to this school and I'm going to be playing in the D2 or D1 playoffs, versus, like you mentioned, you guys are looking to be in the D8 or 9 playoffs, you said. That's not like a bad thing to be in. That's playoffs. That is good football right there that's being played. And I think it's important that those kids get that message across that, look, this is a place that you're putting all this work into. It's important and it means something to stay there. And like you said, character is important. And that is something that really shows good character, is if you're able to build something with a bunch of people, whether or not you started off with it being a 2-8 team your freshman year, and now as a senior, you're making playoffs. That's what I feel like it's about, building something that you can be proud of and look back on.
Oh, absolutely. You're 100% correct.
And it's great to see that that's something that, like, you believe in. You just hammered it home for the last couple of minutes, is that is an important thing at the high school level. So it is a good and inspiring thing to see, like, you on the same wavelengths as Coach Burns and McBride, who have been on the show, is That's a similar message. And it's good to see that it's not just one coach out there doing it. It's a whole group of coaches. Riverside is a big area too. And I know you mentioned like there's plenty of different football in Riverside. Like you mentioned the North and South divisions that are right there. Centennial is the number two team in the state. Big football school, but then they're playing teams that are not up in the top 100 even. So I do think it's important. Like there's other schools out there. You don't just have to play for that big name brand school. I do want to ask one more question of you, coach, if that's right, and have the time. It's just, you've had some young guys play this year. I know you've mentioned it, like your leading receiver this year is a sophomore. You've had multiple quarterbacks take reps in games. How do you bring the team together and view it as a look, maybe our seniors aren't producing and it's not all seniors and juniors out there. You have some of the younger guys coming in. What do you give to those younger kids to hang on to when they're starting to be the on-field leaders of those teams?
It's just encouragement. It's a lot of encouragement of taking time to sit with them because they do feel like, because they are underclassmen, and they do feel some pressure from seniors. Or they sometimes they don't know if it's okay. Can I take his spot? Is it all right? Can I? And it's like, yeah, you can. There's nothing guaranteed. Like you're all out here competing. And that's what high school football should be. The varsity level is that we want you to compete. And then this is, you know, how it is in life, right? You're going to have four people competing for one spot. And I try to tell our guys, look, you're going to have to compete to go to college. Not as an athlete, as a student. Right. So how are you going to compete as a student? A school like San Diego State may get 80,000 applicants and they're going to take 8 or 10,000. So there's 70,000 kids that are going to get a no. So how do you help prepare them for that? Like, how do I make sure I've got the right resume or the right transcript for us, the right transcript to get into a college? And then what happens if my dream school is San Diego State and they say no? What do I do? You know what? You've been playing football here and you've been told no. Like you've been told like what you've done really hasn't been good enough and you got to do some more. So if it is a place that you want to be, like you had just mentioned, right? What's the avenue? Giving them different avenues. But we've got a really good group of kids on this team to where the seniors understand. And we've had this conversation of not always do you get it just because you're a senior. You didn't earn it because you've been here for 4 years, right? You earn it by your play and the effort and the preparation gives you the time on the field. And they've been good. They've been encouraged. We get guys in. Everyone gets reps. Pretty much we get guys in. But if you've got a younger guy who just that much better or a little bit better, and he gets more attention or he gets more balls or he gets makes more tackles, then so be it. We had a sophomore this year who was leading at one time and he's got a shoulder injury right now, but was leading our league, I think, in rushing and in tackles. He's a sophomore. So he's out for a couple of games rehabbing, but that's okay. And we talk to the kids about it. It's okay. This is what it's about. If you feel as a senior that you should get more, then do more. Show me why you should be there. I don't play favorites. I'm here to win a football game. I don't have anything vested. None of them are my kids. You want more playing time, then come prepared, be on time, work hard, show me that you'd be in, and then you're in. I don't have a problem putting you in at that point. Just encouragement, just a lot of encouragement with the young guys. The older guys, it's more about what are you going to do? You're going to step up and work harder? You're going to come more prepared? You're going to go after it? Or are you going to be like, I've been here 4 years and then the heck with it. Not really. I don't care. I'm just waiting for the season to get up. That's not right. Because, and I try to tell kids that over my career that I've done things is I've never taken a job for money and I've never done a job for recognition. So if you're looking for, you're doing this for to look for certain recognition, it's probably not going to happen. And it's going to be like that the rest of your life. You're going to go work for a corporation or whatever it is, and you're going to think you're doing a great job. And you may never hear, hey, great job, Johnny. But so if you're just trying to teach them lessons, especially in our profession, no one's really looking for the good stuff. You're always trying to correct the bad stuff, right? You don't ever get really a bunch. Like I have a lot of my head coaches and the guys that I work for, even directors. As a scout, hey, it's not, hey, you did a great job this year. It's you missed on this guy, you know, or it's always, we didn't make that play. How do we, it's always, we're always looking at the stuff we need to fix and not really sometimes looking as much of the stuff that we do good, but it's trying to let the kids get into, you just got to keep going.
I think that's a good balance of the encouragement to those younger kids, especially, and then challenging your seniors. It sounds, look, you want to be on the field. You've had all this opportunity. You have more experience than these other kids. Use that to your advantage and put in that little bit of extra work if you want to see the field, because that is how football works. You don't earn anything from seniority. It's about being able to go on the field and make those plays, because that's what it's about. What happens on those 150 snaps on a Friday night? And I think that's a good approach to it. And I think really shows that, especially because at Temecula Valley, you have those young players that are stepping up in those positions. It's unfortunate that you have one of them out right now with an injury, especially when he was leading the area in rushing and tackles. That's incredible as a sophomore. So that's a kid who obviously he's got a bright future ahead of him and needs that encouragement, especially with an injury when you're young. You know, that rehab process can be a little daunting. You've never probably gone through it before. So it's good that those kids get that encouragement. Thank you again, Coach, for taking time out of your day. I know you got a busy schedule. I know it's especially coming up towards the end of the season. I know it gets a little bit hectic with playoffs and everything. I want to wish you luck for these remaining two games and wish you luck going into the playoffs and the remainder of the year.
Sure, appreciate it. Anytime, just let me know, man. Anytime. I enjoy it.
And hopefully, especially in the playoffs, you got a good matchup coming up. I'd love to talk to you again.
Anytime.
Thank you so much, Coach. Thank you. That's a wrap for this week's look at Riverside County Prep Sports, where from the desert to the mountains and from the pass to the valleys, our student athletes bring their best every game, every day. Join us next week as we shine the spotlight on more hometown heroes from across all 23 school districts, right here where the pride of Riverside County plays on. Thanks for joining us on Varsity Vibes on the United America Network.
Varsity Vibes with Luke Lamont is presented by the United America Network. Based in Riverside County, California, UAN is your home team for respecting the American way and countering the spread of misinformation. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.